Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Permane Brothers. I'm Ryan. He's Cody. Afternoons with Ryan and Cody. Cody, what's up?
Not much. Just, you know, watching what I thought was going to be a great baseball game, which it could have been better, but it was good. But, you know, other than that, doing all right.
Right. Yeah. Bucks lose the series to the Mike Troutless Angels, dropping today's matinee at 5-4. I'm going to start calling them the Pittsburgh one big inning Pirates.
I have kind of a stat about that for later. I'm not usually a stats guy, Ryan, there, but I dug into some stats today.
I like it. But yeah, it's a tough one. And when the Pirates are in the kind of the, you know, rut that they're in right now, it's just, it stinks. And the offense just hasn't been good enough. And they finally get, you know, some runs today, a big inning, and they still can't win. So,
yeah. Well, before we get too far into this, we have to do our ad read here for Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to you and your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. Head over to the website today or use the mobile app to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Yeah, well, this one started.
We're doing ad reads now, Ryan. We're doing ad reads now? This is weird.
Yep. Here, look at this. Connor, raise it. You're doing it wrong, Connor. You're doing it wrong. I wanted to give out sandwiches, Cody. I don't think you and I have given out sandwiches this year. But I think I did the one game.
Yeah, the midday crew. We haven't given out a single sandwich.
Yeah, the afternoon games have not been going too well. So, but yeah, I mean, this one started out, you know, Martin Perez on the mound, which has been one of our better starting pitchers of the year this season. And he, you know, Perez, I thought, pitched fine, you know, until the sixth inning when he kind of ran into some trouble. He left the game with only two runs, you know, on his record, but he had two inherited runners. They both score because Luis Ortiz came in and kind of just started giving up hits left and right. So he ends up with five plus innings pitched, four runs. You know, it wasn't his best outing that we've seen him have, but I mean, once again, the starting pitching has them in the game.
Yeah, and like you said, it wasn't until the start of the sixth there where he got into some trouble, and he even gave up a home run early in the game. And I think, at least for me, we've been seeing that from our pitching staff, but it's like, that doesn't worry me. Giving up a home run doesn't particularly worry me with
this pitching staff. Especially a solo shot.
Right, because it's mostly solo shots. It's mostly early in the game. Get it out of the way, and then they usually lock in, and they're good. Like, we've seen Jones do it on multiple occasions. I think Keller gave up a few, but he gave up, I think, some that weren't solo shots. Right. But that's something that I think is a positive because, you know, you see a pitching staff give up home runs as often as this pitching staff does. It doesn't really hurt them usually because it's only one or two runs.
Right.
But then that sixth inning came around. He stuck out there a little too long on the mound. So it happens, but then they bring in Ortiz, which I thought was an interesting choice, but we'll get to that. Let's talk more about Perez if you have more about him.
Yeah. Or we can move on. I mean, it just seems like it's the same thing with the starting pitching. Like the starting pitching isn't really the problem. And, you know, I said this about Keller when Keller was before his complete game. You know, he was going five innings, giving up three, four, two runs. But he was like, if that's the biggest problem we have, like that's not even a problem. Like they're keeping you in games even when they're not pitching all that great. And Perez did that. Now you'd like to see them go to somebody in the bullpen that kind of like the fireman role where, you know, you can put some, get some guys out that are on. It just didn't work out today. But like, you know, that's going to happen in baseball. Like it's not like your pitcher, you're going to give up three, four runs a game. You should be able to hit the ball to, you know, overcome that. But just once again, we just didn't see that from the offense. So, but yeah, Perez, I mean, no walks, five strikeouts. He gave up the solo home run early that you mentioned, scattered eight hits across five. Just, I mean, you know, if they bring in, if Ortiz comes in and gets the outs, you know, his start looks a lot better, five innings, two runs, but it just didn't that way. But again, I'm not going to hook this loss on Perez, even though.
No, absolutely not.
The loss at that point. But yeah, it's just, it's another one that I tagged to the offense pretty much and the bullpen.
Yeah. And speaking of the bullpen, I forget who it was on Twitter, but they mentioned it. Like, why go to Ortiz in this situation when you could have gone to like Stratton or Holderman or even Chapman early? Yep. And I think going to Stratton would have been a great choice here. I think
it's we've seen them do that before. Stratton's
exactly
kind of been that fireman role guy.
Right.
So that's where I'm at. Like, I feel like the back end of the bullpen's pretty, we know it's going to be Holderman, Chapman, you know, Bednar or Chapman, Holderman, Bednar. It's, but like that, it's that when the starting pitching doesn't go six innings or deeper, I feel like Shelton has too many options to pick from. You know, are you going to go Fleming or Stratton or Ortiz or Contreras? And I feel like if that had been the seventh inning that Perez started and couldn't finish, I feel like he just goes to Chapman or Holderman and then, you know, they get out of it. So my thing is, if you come into the game, you know who's available. Shelton knows who's available, who's going to pitch. If you know Chapman's going to pitch, Holderman's going to be probably in there too, just bring him out first out of the pen. You have a lead. Like, that's what you're trying to protect. If, you know, if you give up that lead or whatever, then bring in whoever. But at that point, yeah, like Ortiz, the first out of the bullpen, like I'm not going to kill him on that decision. It's just, that's not where I would have went. Like, just bring your best guys out when you have that lead.
Right. But it's now it's starting to feel like Ortiz is getting into that category with Rwanzi, where it's like when he comes out, it's the white flag.
You know, Ortiz hasn't been awful this year. I mean,
I agree. Know. He hasn't been awful. But with performances like this, it's like, okay, like,
right.
Is especially he going to be able to hold a lead?
Right. Especially with runners on. I mean, there's just, like you said, why not bring in Stratton? They've done it before. Stratton's pitched well. You know, Chapman is a guy that will get strikeouts, which is what you need with guys on base. Now, Chapman might also walk the farm because he's all over the place. But it's just, I don't know, Luis Ortiz, it's just, it doesn't, like, fireman role doesn't scream Luis Ortiz right now.
No, it doesn't. That's why I kind of had a problem with it. And it was pointed out to me on Twitter, obviously.
Right, right.
But then from there, what? We did go to Chapman, which he did well, two strikeouts, and then he had the pickoff. Like, that was great. Yep.
Yeah, he walked one, but he, like you said, the pickoff. But yeah, right after that, they went Chapman, Holderman, and then Stratton.
And then Stratton.
And it's all like, three of them would have been probably better choices than Ortiz in the sixth. So it's like, what, you know,
the only way to rationalize is that their thought, like Shelton's thought, is that, oh, we're only in the sixth, we need a middle reliever here, we can't have one of our back end guys coming in this early. And it's like, why not?
You know,
you have a lead, you got to protect it.
Yep.
You got to do what it takes to protect it, not be like, okay, well, Ortiz is a middle inning guy, so we got to put our middle inning guy in. Right. And it just seems like they pigeonhole these guys. Like you brought up before with, I believe it was Bednar. Like, why is he the guy? Like, why can't you go to somebody else? And that's what they've done, is pigeonhole these guys into spots, which sometimes that's a good thing for a pitching staff to, like, you know your assignment, you know what your responsibilities are, and it doesn't change. That's great. But also, I'm thinking it should probably be somebody's responsibility to, like, hold a lead, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, if it's the third inning and your starter gets chased in the game, you know, put whoever in. But just sixth inning, two on, the Pirates have the lead. Like, that's the time you need to go to your guys, your horses.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, what happens if you pitch Chapman, Holderman, and, you know, in two straight innings, then who do you go to? Well, then you figure it out. If you still have the lead, you figure it out. Maybe the offense actually could add some insurance runs, which we'll talk about that in a second. But, yeah, it's just – I just didn't like it. But, you know, overall, you'd like to see Perez go a little deeper and, yeah, and kind of finish that sixth inning off himself.
But, like, especially because this team is – found it hard to find a W, you know, so why not bring out all the stops to make sure you don't have the worst May in franchise history, you know, like just put the guys out there and, you know, we don't have to keep running in circles here. So we'll move on.
Yeah. Let's talk the offense. You know, Pirates, Angels take a quick 2-0 lead, fifth inning, Pirates, you know, had this big inning, which was pretty much all around the offense today, which was Cruz and Connor Joe. And Connor Joe just doing it. But, you know, the bases.
Connor Joe DiMaggio, baby.
Yeah, I'm telling you, get it trending. The dude just keeps hitting. And, I mean, he's hitting, you know, singles and whatever, but 813 OPS. The dude just keeps hitting. But, again, it's, you know, with the couple games we had, you know, first game in this series, Pirates beat the Angels. They had that last game against the Rockies where they had the big inning. You know, Olivares hit the home run. Like, the offense that the Pirates have been getting from this just awful stretch they've been on, it's like it's one big hit, which is nice, but it's just one inning, and then they go dormant again. So here, you know, base is loaded for Cruz. Cruz gets the base-clearing double, you know, huge hit. Like, it's just that big hit the Pirates have been looking for. Connor Joe singles him in next at bat. Pirates are up 4-0 or 4-2. They, you know, they take the lead. And you're thinking, okay, here we go. Like, we can add on in this game, and just nothing. Can't add on all game. Obviously, the Pirates give it up in the sixth, and then, you know, the Pirates, the bats pretty much went dormant. I don't even know. Did they have a hit past the sixth inning? Now that I'm thinking of it,
I don't think so.
I was gonna say They went down pretty much in order for those. Yeah, here it is. Angels bullpen. Yeah, zero hits, zero runs, zero walks. And that's what – so I tweeted out about, you know, Soriano being on the mound. Soriano going into this game had like a 4.9 walks per nine in his career. So I'm thinking, okay, well, this is a great situation for this approach that the Bucks have. They take all the pitches. Well, they'll get some walks, you know. And then four innings through the game, they got zero walks. They finally get a couple walks. Soriano walks back-to-back guys, load the bases for Cruz, and then they get that big hit. But I was like, of course, like the guy that has like control issues, he's mowing us down for four innings until we finally walk some guys. But yeah, they didn't have one hit, or they didn't have a base runner against the bullpen.
No, it's crazy. And I don't get it. It seems like this team just decides that they're going to be the anecdote for all these bad pitchers. Like, they're going to be the medicine and get these pitchers back on track. Like, I don't know why. Like, why not take advantage of someone being in a slump? Get yourself out of a slump by taking advantage. But it goes the other way around for this offense for some reason. And it seems like whenever they face a decent pitcher, that's when the bats come alive. It just doesn't make sense.
No. And like Sean said here, I posted the comment, we don't even need a good offense at this point.
Yeah.
The starting pitching has been so good. You just need to be like average. And, you know, and like these big innings that they're having, you know, it's coming from like Cruz's double today. Cruz homered in that Rocky series. Like, that was the big inning. Olivares's big home run. Like, those are where they're coming from. It's just, it's not coming enough or frequent enough for, you know, going into this year, I thought Cruz, Sawinski, and Henry Davis were going to be the three guys, you know, even Rowdy Tellez, which we'll get there. My God, start everyone. I feel like you just say his name, you're going to hear boos.
Yeah.
I thought those would be the 3-4 guys that would lead this power on this team. And it's Cruz is sort of starting to come around, which is great to see. But nobody else really is doing much of anything. So right. it's tough. You can't have this offense where, you know, we said before, you got to score runs. Now they're scoring they're doing something in one inning, but that's it. You need to be more consistent.
Right. And you bring up Cruz, and I got some stats today. I alluded to that earlier. I'm not usually a stats guy, but this intrigued me. This intrigued me when Joe Block brought it up on the broadcast. So when O'Neill Cruz is batting in that 3-4 spot, he has a .333 average. He has a double, 2 home runs, 6 RBIs, and he's slugging .625. That's phenomenal.
That's pretty good.
Like for him, you know, like
right.
I'd take that, and it's like that's where he's had probably the least amount of at bats, or at least an average amount of at bats this season, because for some reason he's being thrown at the bottom of the lineup if he's not batting first in the lineup. And it's like, yeah, we need to find this middle ground for him. I think this is it. The other stats I had was the middle innings, 5th and 6th inning. O'Neill Cruz is batting .310, has a double, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, 1 walk, and 2 stolen bases with a .759 slugging percentage.
So you mentioned that's the 5th and 6th inning, right?
So that's around that time where the pitchers, they're either changing or they're
so that's what I'm wondering. We maybe have to dive into that a little more, because I'm wondering, right, is it like the 3rd or 4th time he's seeing the starting pitcher, or is it he's seeing like the bullpen, like somebody different from the starting pitching? It's right. Probably the 3rd time, like the 3rd time that he's seen the
that's
starting
exactly
pitcher.
What but, it is.
You know, so that makes sense. But yeah, it's been brought up, I think, more so in the past week, you know, week or two, about these lineups. Like Shelton's had what he had, like, you know, in 20 some games, he had 20 some different lineups.
A ridiculous amount of different lineups.
Yeah. McCutchen goes the leadoff. He hits 2 leadoff home runs and then they move him again. It's like, well,
yeah,
why not just leave these guys in a spot? And, you know, DiNardo and Fort talked about that last week, about just the lineup being mixed around. And yeah, it's true. It's like, stop moving these guys around, especially if you find like these guys, you know, they're baseball players are superstitious. They're weird. They're creatures of habit. Like, you know, they're going to hit, what's Doug saying? They're going to, you know, they're going to feel comfortable in a certain spot, but you know, it's a mess. I agree with it. Cause I'd rather see people, my alarm goes off. I'd rather see kind of just a more consistency in the whole lineup overall.
Right. And I think it's starting to get to be that time where there needs to be a consistent lineup. You need to know where your guys hit best at this point in the season. I mean, you're almost 2 months in, and it's like, we don't have a lineup. Like, you never know what's going to happen out there.
We don't know, and the players are showing up to the park each day not knowing where they're hitting.
Exactly. And, like, it's like peewee baseball. Like, okay, we're going to give so-and-so a shot at batting leadoff today, and then little Johnny's going to hit 4th because we think he has some power. He was hitting well off the tee in the cage, you know. Who knows? Who knows how Shelton does this lineup? I'm sure it's based off of, like, what?
Well, everybody
I just had a brain fart. I'm so sorry.
No, everybody tells me when you question Shelton, well, that's the analytic team. That's right. An organizational thing. It's
based,
you know,
off
it's
matchups.
From up top. It's Ben Sherrington and the analytics. It's like, well, what the
so Shelton who's managing here? This team? Yeah. Ben Sherrington
what?
Or
tell
Derek
me what
Shelton
does.
Who's
tell
doing
me what
it?
You do here? You know, like, what do we do here? Are you just the people person? You're just moving
right.
The,
are you just the guy that everybody's like, hey,
that's
Uncle Derek. He's awesome.
He's like, I work with the people. I mean, it's just – so that's what I'm supposed to say. Everybody always goes to that. Wow, it's an organizational thing. Well, what is Shelton doing then? Why do we even have a manager at that point?
Right.
Just
like,
have
Jerry
in the dugout.
I get it to the extent that it's a philosophy, right? If this organization's sticking to a philosophy, so be it. But, like, if that's the case, then it's Shelton to blame because he right. bought into this philosophy. It's not the general manager being like, this is how we're going to play, even though – he's probably the one that was like, hey, this is how we want to build our team. But the manager has to also buy into that, and he obviously has. So, therefore, blame goes to the manager.
Right. And so you
it's not like watching Moneyball where, you know, Hoffman's character, he's like, I don't want to put this lineup out today.
Yeah, he's like, well, you can't play him at third because I traded him.
I just traded him, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that relationship's going on with Shelton and Ben
exactly.
at this point.
Exactly, that's not what's happening.
So, yeah, but so speaking of, you know, where players know where they're at in the lineup and hitting, let's talk Rowdy Tellez because he doesn't seem to hit anywhere in the lineup. Rowdy Tellez, 0 for 4 today. Two strikeouts, just awful at bats too. You know, he came, like first inning, right off the bat, they get two guys on, two out. He's at the plate. Like, this is what you're brought here for. You're brought here to hit for power, to drive in runs. He strikes out in like the worst looking way possible. And then the next at bat, I think it was even worse. The strikeout where he swung the pitch was like in the plate.
He waits for the worst pitch possible and he swings. Because those two at-bats you just brought up, it's in the zone. He stares at him, and he's like, all right, I got to swing now. And then it's same spot, but it's a changeup, so it goes down. And he swings over top of it. And half the time, Soriano throws that curveball, that tight curveball.
Yeah.
He threw that to him, like, I think twice, and just straight into the dirt. He's like, oh, I'm going to swing now.
He looks like a golf. This looks like a golf swing.
Yeah.
It does.
What are you doing?
Who was it? Adam Simber out of the bullpen, the submarine. Like, is he not, like, you just knew we weren't hitting him. Like, there's zero chance Jack Sawinski's hitting the submarine pitcher. Like, it was just like, this is a bad matchup. But yeah, Rowdy just, and he's here in the booze, which he's just in, I don't know how long, much longer you, and he was finally like, I saw his numbers for the past week, like finally starting to do something. And you're thinking like, oh, is he coming out of it? Is this him doing anything?
Right.
And then just a terrible 0 for 4 game today. Right. Jared Triolo, 0 for 4. Like I'm done with the Triolo experience. I mean, he was fun. Yeah, good defense at third and second, but God, this lineup needs hitting more so than we need defense at this point.
Right. When the offense isn't clicking, you got to do something. And if that means to take something away from your defense, so be it.
Yeah, and Nick Gonzalez just keeps homering at AAA. Like,
and I do want to bring up what Robbie says here. Robbie Fulton, he said, "You think they get yelled at if they swing at the first pitch?" Well, from what we've been told, the last 2 weeks is they're looking for a more aggressive approach, right? Like that's what Alex got from talking to Andy Haynes.
Ben Sherrington said it on the Fan.
Ben Sherrington, yeah, that's what everybody's saying. Everybody's saying we want to be aggressive, but then when it comes time to be aggressive, no one's aggressive. Like
that's what doesn't make sense.
Right. So
like, well, we want them to be aggressive and we want them to, you know, hunt for their pitch. And so, okay. So if you're telling them to do that, but they're not doing it, like, again, like, does that fall on Shelton? Who are we blaming for that? Is that Haynes?
Right.
Is that maybe just the players aren't good?
Or are the players not buying into what the organization is telling them? Like, what is going on?
It's just Charlie Williams said, I didn't realize how good we had it with Clint Hurdle until Derek got here. I agree, man. I mean, I like Clint Hurdle. You know, there was things Hurdle. Where
I thought,
you know,
was great.
He kind of, it was to the point, you know, he was here a little long, you know, it was just a little bit too long, but I'm with him. Like Hurdle wasn't that bad at this point. Like, I just don't see what Shelton does really. If it's all the organizational approach and everything.
Look at what Anthony Palumbo says here. Shout out. Used to play basketball with him with the Y. But at this point, why aren't Skeens and Jones two-way players? Because they were. They used to be.
Was that Filippone? That Filippone tweeted that out the other day, like, let Skeens be a two-way player again. It's like, oh, boy.
It's like, I get it. He wasn't a two-way player at LSU. He was a two-way player at Air Force.
Yeah.
And he started to focus on his pitching, which is fine. But then
which turned out well.
But it was like MLB Today or something like that, one of their shows on the network. They're talking to Jared Jones and they asked him, they're like, so did you want to be a two-way guy? They're like, you were a two-way guy out of high school. And I guess he was supposed to go to Texas or something. And he was like, yeah, if I went to Texas, that's what I was going to be. It was a two-way player. But then I got drafted. So I just went back to straight up pitching. And it's like, well, maybe we should have been like, hey, you want to do both?
Yeah, right. Otani can do it. You can do it.
And then what? Bubba Chandler is another one who was a two-way guy that we drafted.
Yeah, it stinks. You know, with the NL going DH too, which, you know, we've talked about that. I'm a big, you know, pitcher should bat guy in the NL, but it would have been nice to like have that and see Skeens and see some of these guys when they come up and they get their at bats to see how they were. But yeah, well, you know, anyway, they'll take any help they can get. But the rest of this offense today, Cutchin 0-for-3, he had a walk. Reynolds 0-for-3, walk. You know, they both scored on the Cruise double.
Yeah.
Joey Bart had a double, Sawinski double. But besides that, just nothing else. Like I said, it's at one big inning. And if Cruise didn't have the double, we probably got shut out today, or you know, whatever, maybe got one run. It's just bad, man. It's bad. You can't lose a series at home to a Mike Troutless Angels. We talked about losing that series to the A's, and there people are like, well, the A's have beat some teams this year. Well, the Angels are 12-22. They were 12-22 coming into the series. They don't have Mike Trout. Otani's gone. Like, they got Logan Ohapi and Cole Tucker batting second. Cole Tucker was their two hitter today. Cole Tucker was making plays at third base like Mike Schmidt. I'm like, what is going on over here?
Oh man, I didn't think I'd see Cole Tucker back in the majors and play that well.
But I mean, batting second, and he went 0-for-4. I mean, he didn't do anything offensively, but I mean, this Angels lineup stinks. Yeah. It's just, you know, you can't lose. You can't lose the series.
No. And now we got to play a divisional series this weekend against the Cubs. And it's like, you don't know what's going to happen, and it just looks like it's going to be bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's we've been playing a lot of AL teams, a lot of, you know, now they're going to start getting into these division games. And obviously, what is it, Bob Walk, that always just say the division games count as two, because, you know, if you win, you know, the other team's losing, you're hurting them in the standings. So these are going to be some big games coming up. So, but like, I just feel like their answer to figuring this offense out is just, well, it's, you know, we're going to figure it out. We ran the projections 10,000 times, and in 6,000 of the projections, they all hit the ball better than they are now. Well,
I hate that. I hate it so much. Like, I don't care about your predictions. Play this goddamn game.
Right.
You know?
And they are, and they're not playing it well.
Yeah.
They're not hitting the ball well. And it's a shame, because the starting pitching has been pretty dang good so far this year. There we go. We got some hashtag ban the DH in here. Let's go backwards. Let's do it. Bring the hitters back. Let's Skeens bat. That's the other thing too. Like, just talking about the Pirates overall. If they're going to call Skeens up Saturday, are they going to wait till Friday to announce this? Like, how stupid is that?
Yeah, it's weird, because it seems like, I don't know. I'm on the side of, I think he's going to pitch. I think he's going to be out.
It seems like almost like the worst kept secret right now. Like, he's pitching Saturday. Everybody's like playing the, well, he's preparing to pitch, but we don't know where. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like, don't you want to sell the stands out? Like, announce this already. Like, what are we waiting on? He was sitting there.
They'll announce it tomorrow. They'll announce it tomorrow on an off day, because they have nothing else to do, because there's nothing else to talk about with this team, because it's so bad. And they'll be like, oh, an off day? Let's do it now. Everybody will buy the tickets on the off day. We'll have something going on, at least. It's positive here. And then they'll play a game Friday and lose. It'll be more negative.
I don't know, man. They might. Well, first, I don't actually believe they are calling them up Saturday, because it's just the Pirates. But no, I don't. I feel like it's weeks off. But even if they did, like, yeah, they'll probably wait till Friday night to announce it. Like, who knows? Like, they're just, they do stupid stuff. It's the Buccos way. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about, Cody, on this one, this beautiful afternoon game?
I wish I could give away some sandwiches.
We really want to. Some afternoon sandwiches, man. That's all we want to do.
I have not been on a single show yet where we gave away sandwiches. I even did a night game. I used to be always do the day games, because I don't work. I work nights. I don't work during the day.
Yep.
And I did a post game on the A series, and we still didn't give away any sandwiches. I'm just upset.
But that's like me. I'm either afternoon, or I'm like the late West Coast game post.
Right.
So that's pretty much it. But I don't know, man. So off day tomorrow. Off days haven't worked so far for this team, but we'll see. Permanis. We'll see what happens. Like you said, the Cubs come in this weekend. I don't know. Division games, they got to get going.
They come in on Friday, by the way. I usually mess up and say there's a game tomorrow on these Wednesday.
But sometimes there are. Sometimes there's.
I'm on my.
If they do the four gamer. Yeah, you are correct. Sandwich. Hashtag sandwiches. Yeah, can't do it. But hey, off day. Maybe they'll make a roster move besides Skeens. Maybe it'll be, I don't know, Nick Gonzalez. Anybody. Like, let's go.
I'd love to see Gonzalez. Like, if we see anything happen this weekend, I hope it's Gonzalez at the very least. I'm fine with sending Triolo down. Like, Triolo will be fine eventually, but maybe he just needs more time in AAA, you know, and that's okay. Like, it's early in his career. That's fine.
He's just been so bad.
Like how I think it's fine that Davis went down. Like, these guys are fresh.
And that was like a week and a half later than it should have been.
Yes.
But like Triolo, like, yeah, we know the defense is there. Like, sending him down, the defense isn't going anywhere. Like, it's there when you need it. Like, he can come off the bench, but yeah, send him down. Let's see what Gonzalez does at this point.
Right.
Got to check all those boxes. Just keep checking them away.
Apparently, Skeens, just after every start, he finds another box he has to check. Yeah, that isn't checked yet.
he's checking tons and tons of boxes he needs to. So
check it
off. All right, let's get out of here. Thanks.
All right. Well, before we do, let's plug some stuff, Ryan.
Let's plug it.
We got the tailgate coming up June 22nd. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited. I love the tailgate. I love tailgating in general, but our tailgate is awesome because we get to see you guys, the fans that come and listen to us, and you come here for our therapy sessions, as we call them. Now we're going to have a therapy session in person at PNC Park in Gold Lot 1, sponsored and catered by Permane Brothers. So make sure you go to the link. I think it's in the description of this video. Go RSVP just to make sure we have enough food. We need to give Permane Brothers a number so we don't waste anything. So make sure you guys do that, and we'll see you there June 22nd. It's Kutch bobblehead night.
Yep.
And yeah, festivities start at noon, 12 p.m., however you want to say it, since we had a debate on what to put on the poster.
Noon, high noon.
Yeah, Jim was like, shouldn't we say noon? I was like, no.
High noon at the North Shore. Yeah, NS9 live tomorrow night on the off day. So that we'll even though there'll be no post game, the guys will be on breaking down this lovely team. And
that's rough.
Yeah, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Like, subscribe, check out the memberships we got. And that's pretty much it, Cody. Until next afternoon game, me and you will be on probably.
Yep, I'll see you then.
All right, guys, take it easy.
Have a good one.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.